anger. Anybody can relate to this? Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? A few people are. By the end of the message, hopefully everybody's going to kind of have an understanding of what we're talking about here this morning. And so after we identify the source of our anger, we must also acknowledge the effects of our anger, how it affects everyone else around us. How does your anger affect not only you, but it affects your wife, your kids, your friends, those around you? Let's look at how the effects of this. So in Saul's anger, it manifests in these violent outbursts where he had a spear. And he not only launched a spear at David, but he launched a spear at Jonathan, his very own son. Besides this, he had asked his servants, King Saul had asked his servants to do some horrendous things. In fact, we learned through the book of 1 Samuel, all the way from chapter 18 all the way to chapter 20, that there were at least 7 attempts on David's life from King Saul. So his anger is to the point where now he's just reaching out and he's striking violently and trying to kill David. Along the way, we also find that he goes to the priest in the land of Nod, and there he puts to death 85 priests, those who wore the ephod, because his anger is so out of control. And because these priests wind up helping David escape, whenever David's on the run, he's running from King Saul. He goes to Ahimelech, and Ahimelech helps him. He goes and goes before the Lord and asks the Lord to grant him success. And he even gives him bread. He gives him a sword, Goliath, the sword that he took from Goliath. And King Saul became so furious that Ahimelech helped out David that he not only kills the priest that was meant, to bring God's people in relationship to God, he kills him. He kills all of his family, and then he goes throughout the whole entire city of Nob and begins to kill women and children, all because he has this uncontrollable anger. And so not only now we see the effects of it, where it's reaching beyond his enemy David, now he's beginning to hurt so many people. He's beginning to hurt God's people. He not only hurt his own family. In fact, Jonathan had lost all respect for King Saul. Jonathan gets to the point where he's trying to convince his dad, King Saul, to not think of David like this. He tries to get him to remember of all the good things that David did and how he risked his neck, for the kingdom. We find this in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 4 through 6. It says, "And Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, 'Let not the king sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned have brought good to you. For he took his life in his hand, and he struck down the Philistine. And the Lord worked a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by killing David without a cause?' And Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan. Saul swore, 'As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death.'" He listened temporarily, because we find in moments after this, that again, King Saul is pursuing after David, trying to take him out. And so we realize that the effects of anger is long lasting. You begin to lash out in anger. You're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting those who love you. You're hurting the very people who you swore to protect, especially as a king of Israel. Just a personal story. In January, around Mardi Gras, whatever it was, we took a little trip and we got away and we were playing this board game. And for whatever reason, I had taken a Red Bull because I was driving the day before. And so it does tend to mess with me. And anyway, we were playing this board game. And for whatever reason, I just get so angry. I just get upset and I'll leave the table just like in a complete disarray. I stormed out the room. I'm ashamed to say that I did. I stormed out the room. I go down to my bedroom, and I'm just like, I let that moment just welter up. And so I just lashed out in anger that the very people that I'm supposed to love and protect, my wife, my kids. And, I just remember sitting there, and then I heard one of my kids say this to another one of my kids, say, "Look, don't ever become like Dad." And I, man, that struck me so hard. It's like, wow, I'm letting my anger just really destroy my life. You know, if I continue in this, you know, that my kids don't even want to be like me. And so Jonathan, in this story, he's like, Dad, what you're doing is, it's horrendous. You know, it's like you're going after this man, David, who has risked his neck for you, who has served you, who has fought for you, and yet you've turned on him. And so your anger is just destroying every relationship that is around you. And I did repent that, you know, I repented before God, and I repented before my family, and I did receive forgiveness, and I decided no more Red Bull, because Red Bull affects me too much, and I just can't handle it. And so maybe that's a thing, too. Maybe there's a substance in your life, you know, that just alters the way that you think and alters the way that you control yourself, whether it's an energy drink like it was in my case, or maybe it's alcohol or something else. We allow things into our body, but then it really begins to affect how we act and how we respond to those around us. So maybe that is an issue in your life, and maybe you would ask the Lord to help you with that. But Saul's anger was such a destructive force, and so it was fueled by his insecurity. It was fueled by his jealousy. He seen that David was becoming the man of God, and that he was prosperous in his journey, and that God was with him. And at the same time, God was taking everything away from King Saul. And so Saul believed that he was justified in his anger, that it was okay for him to be angry. And a lot of times, too, we tend to justify our reasons for being angry. We say, oh, what, you don't know what he did to me. You don't know how he acted. You don't know what she did. I am justified. I have a right to be angry. Well, Saul never owns up to a lot of things in his life. He didn't. In one occasion, whenever he's pursuing after David, David has this opportunity to kill him, and David decides not to because he was the Lord's anointed. And at that moment, Saul says, you know what? I'm sorry. What I did was wrong. But he never really owns up to the fact that his anger has destroyed pretty much every relationship in his life. And sadly and consequently, Saul, he would die on the battlefield, not really having made all this right, you know, with all these other relationships. And so what is a better approach to anger rather than the way that Saul went about it? His anger led him to a path of demise and a path of destruction. But let's look at God's word this morning and see what God's word says. For first of all, I want to say that not all anger is sin. You might be like, what? It's true. Not all anger is sin. Let's think about Jesus' life. Did Jesus ever get angry? Yes. Did Jesus ever sin? No. In Mark chapter 3, verse 4 to 5, it says, and he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. And he looked around them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. So Jesus was so angry because they were so concerned about breaking the Sabbath. In other words, not doing a miracle on the Sabbath, rather than being concerned about this man with this withered hand. And so Jesus looks at them and said, look, your hearts are so hardened. You're so concerned about the ritual and the religion, but you're not concerned about the person. You're not walking in love with the person. So this righteous anger, the holy righteous anger, rises up within Jesus and just begins to call them out as it was. In another instance, in John chapter 2, verse 13 to 17, it says this, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. And his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has consumed me. So there was a couple of things that stirred up Jesus whenever he became angry in those moments. One was whenever we just read it, but then the other one was whenever they were selling sacrifices, whenever they were trying to defile the temple of the living God. He was passionate about the things of God. He was passionate about the house of God. And he was passionate about how, about not letting the enemy take any ground in his life or in the things of God. And so what about you? Like, if you see your children in danger, they're hanging around the wrong group, and flags go up, you're like, man, if they continue down this path, right, this, they're going to go down the wrong path. This is a path of destruction. There should be some sort of holy, righteous anger that says, look, you're not, you've got to make some changes in your life. You have got to change things. Otherwise, you're going to go into this path that's leading to destruction. And if you're seeing the enemy just wreaking havoc in your life and in the lives of those around you, in your friends, in your family, there should be some sort of holy, righteous anger that rises up and says, no, you will not mess with my kids. You will not mess with my family. You will not mess with anyone that I love, right? And so in that aspect, it's anger is okay. Anger is a motivator at that point. Or, you know, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 tells us, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So here we're told anger in itself is not a bad thing. Be angry, but do not sin. Allow it to be a motivator. You know, like whenever you see, you're looking out, you know, you're watching the game or you're watching something on TV, your favorite show, and then all of a sudden, you know, something on TV pops up, maybe a commercial about, you know, like things that are going on in Africa or all around the world. You see poverty at its greatest. You see kids, you know, just starving and don't have the means to eat, you know, and something on the inside of you should be stirred. You know, some sort of passion, some sort of anger should be stirred up against that. If it brings you to an action, if it causes you to do something about that, right? That's what anger should be doing. But it becomes sin when we allow things to fester in our soul. When someone has wronged us and we allow it to stay there. We allow it to grow. We allow it to become more and more intense like it did with King Saul. That's when it becomes sin. Proverbs 15, verse 1 tells us that in those moments of anger, when we're wanting to say things, when we're wanting to lash out in anger, Proverbs 15, 1 would tell us a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. And I have tried to live by the scripture as best as I can. Yeah, and anytime I'm in a moment where there's a potential heated debate of fellowship, a moment of intense fellowship, if you will, anytime I'm in that, I always ask God, either in my mind or whatever, I say, God, how do you want me to respond in this moment? How do you want me to answer this person? Because anger has, you know, risen to the point. How do I subside that? How do I engage my prefrontal cortex and say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to solve this? How do you want me to respond? And a lot of times he'll say a soft answer turns away wrath. Amen. But harsh words stir up anger. And so learning to speak that soft word, learning to speak that word in love, rather than allowing the first thing that comes to your mind, right, which is probably not good thoughts. It's probably not, you know, you probably want to get even. Those kind of thoughts. It's take control of those thoughts, right? As Paul would often say, take those thoughts captive because you are now a Christian. You are a believer in Christ Jesus. So we're going to look at some ways that we can begin to control our anger. And if you're dealing with anger, there are some things that we need to do as well. And probably one of the first things is that we need to confess our sins. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so a better thing that Saul would have done, instead of blaming David, instead of accusing him, instead of passing the blame, say, you know what? I'm owning up to it. I'm owning up to my part of the anger. I'm owning up to what my anger has done. I'm looking at all the, how is it has affected my family and my loved ones. I'm looking at how, and I'm owning up to it, but Lord, I'm going to confess it to the Lord, and I'm going to confess it also to the people that I've hurt, and I'm going to rely on God's forgiveness and his mercy to pull me through. And so don't pass the blame. Don't blame ship. Don't blame everyone else for your reasons for being angry, but confess it. Confess and lay it down at the foot of Jesus Christ. Next, we're going to trust that God is just. And so how does this help us with anger? Because if we know that God is just, then we don't have to try to bring about justice ourselves. You know, we don't have to try to fight our own battles. We don't have to try to make right what was wrong. We begin to trust in God's justice. We begin to say, God, I know that you see all. You hear all. You see how I was just hurt and how I was offended. I'm going to take this and I'm going to place this in your hands. I trust that you are a just God. You know, the Bible says in Romans 12:19, it says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Amen. I mean, you guys believe that the Lord is fighting your battles. And so if he's fighting your battles, you don't have to fight. You don't have to get even, or you don't have to up them, you know. We don't like to just get even. We like to take it even up a notch, right? You did this to me, well, I'm going to do even more to you, right? That's our anger. But the Bible says, look, he is a just God. He is a righteous God. And that we are not to avenge ourselves, but would leave it to the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. The next thing we want to do is and this is probably the more difficult part of this lesson, we want to overcome evil with good. You're like, oh, really? I got to do good to the person who just got me angry? Yeah. Yeah, that's what the Bible would teach us. It goes on to say in verse 20, it says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Don't feed him poison, right? Don't poison his burger and put some rat poison in there. We're not talking about that. We're going to walk in the love of God. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I used to take a strange delight in this passage, like, ooh, I get to turn this over to God and their head's just going to burn, you know, with fire. I'm like, yes, that's not the right heart either. And so we're not to want to our enemies to be hurt or whatever. But knowing that if we trust in God, it's going to burn them up so much that you're doing good to them rather than, you know, avenging yourself, rather than taking it out and taking your anger out on them, it's just going to burn them up. Like, I can't believe. How are you able to do this? How are you able to demonstrate love to me whenever all I did was showing you hate? It's because we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we're going to demonstrate that love to others, right? So we're not going to be overcome by evil, but we're going to overcome evil with good. So here's something, too, to help us control our anger. We must learn to attack the problem and not the person. Learn to attack the problem and not the person. So that, remember, anger is a useful emotion. If there's a problem, you know, if you see someone who's veered off the road and they went into, you know, the ditch or whatever, there should be some sort of anger in a sense that motivates you to get, you know, to help that person. Notice, he goes on to say in James chapter 1, verse 19 to 20, it says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. God, how do you want me to respond? How do you want me to act and not react? We're going to learn to act and not react whenever we're given to anger. We're going to learn to attack the problem and not the person. But too often, we tend to attack the person. And my last point is, the way that we're going to do this is we're going to put on the newness of life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, Bible, as we, the more and more that we get into the Word of God, the more and more we read the Scriptures, the more and more we'll become like Christ, and the less we'll become like ourselves, right? And so if you're not spending time in the Word, I encourage you to do so, because the Bible says about the Bible in Ephesians chapter 5 that we are to renew our minds with the washing of the water of the Word. And so as we're reading God's Word, our minds are being renewed. Those thoughts of anger and those thoughts of payback and those thoughts of resentment are being smoothed over with the Word of God. And secondly, we can ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You know, He is a great helper. According to John chapter 14, verse 26, He is there to help you. He is a very present help in time of trouble. And so if you're dealing with anger, maybe you just take that moment and say, God, I need You to help me in this moment. God, I need the power of Your Holy Spirit to help me, because my power is not good enough. Under my power, I'm going to be just like Saul. Under my power, I'll destroy every relationship in my life. God, I need Your power in my life. I need Your Holy Spirit working in my life in this moment. Help me, oh God, to control my anger. And then lastly, we need to put on our armor. Put on the armor of God, according to Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. You know, if we're gearing up for battle each and every day, if we're grabbing our sword, which is the Word of God, if we're putting on our shield and we're putting on the helmet and the breastplate of righteousness, and we're ready for the attacks of the enemy, we're not going to be caught off guard whenever we find ourselves in situations that tend to get us angry, right? And so we must pick up the weaponry and put on the weaponry that the Lord God has provided for us so that we can begin to fight against the enemy. Amen. So we're going to apply God's word to our anger. We're going to confess our sins. And so maybe this morning you just need to make that confession, you know, before the Lord. You just need to say, God, I have allowed anger to not only hurt myself, but it has hurt those around me. You know, and that might be you. And I want you to know today that as you confess your sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins. It doesn't matter what it is. He is faithful. We must also trust that God is just. He's going to bring it about. He's going to bring about righteous judgments. Amen. And so we can trust that God's vengeance is true. We can trust Him. We can trust that God is just. Our part is to overcome evil with good. So what good can you do to that person who has caused you to be angry? How can you be Christ-like in that situation? Think about that for a moment. How can you attack the problem and not the person? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Lord, we just come before You. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for this message. We thank You, Lord, for just speaking to us, Lord, about this subject, about anger. Lord, forgive us, Lord God, for the times that we have blown it, for the times that we messed up. Lord, we ask, Lord, that You would just forgive us and cleanse us, Lord, from all of our unrighteousness. God, we ask, Lord, for the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, to help us with our anger. Lord, that we can control our anger and let anger be used to bring us to some sort of action, God, whatever it may be. Lord, just as You were zealous about the things of God in the temple, You were zealous whenever the enemy tried to bring about havoc in the lives of other people. God, we want to be zealous and we want to be passionate, but Lord, we want to be able to control our anger and not let it get the best of us. We don't want to go down the same road that King Saul went down. Lord, we want to be like David, a man after God's own heart. So Lord, first, we just want to say we're sorry. God, we repent of our anger, and we receive Your forgiveness this morning. And Lord, in the future, God, we pray, Lord, that You would just help us. Help us start to take a moment, whether it's count to 10 or just to think of Your word and to not overreact, but Lord, to to act out in love, God, in the way that you would have us act. Lord, to say things, God, that you would have us say in those heated moments. And Lord, so we just pray that you would be with us, oh God, and that you'll direct us and that you would help us, oh Lord, as we deal with this thing called anger. Perhaps you're in this place and you've been hurt by other people's anger and it has wrecked your life. Your job, your responsibility this morning is to forgive that person. To forgive that person. Forgive those who have been, you know, so angry to you and you felt like you didn't deserve that. Nobody deserves that. Nobody deserves to be the recipient of someone's anger. But you have to learn to forgive. Just as Jesus forgave us, as he looked on, as he is on that cross, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." We too must learn to walk in that same type of love and forgiveness towards others. So right now, you might have to just release that person, forgive that person. Say, "God, I forgive this person. I forgive them, Lord, for their anger and for lashing out." Because, Lord, we're all susceptible, Lord, to do this. We're all, at any moment, can be given to anger in some instance or another. Someone pulls out in front of us in traffic, we get angry. Someone curses us out, we get angry. Lord, we all have this tendency to get angry. So, Lord, as you have been merciful towards us, Lord, as you have been gracious towards us, as you have been long-suffering with us, we too, Lord God, want to be long-suffering with others and forgiving of others and what they have done to us. So, Lord, we release them today. We ask, God, for your healing in our hearts, oh God. We ask, God, you would make us whole. You know, perhaps it's a generational thing that you've seen your father get angry to the point where it became abuse. And that has affected your life. And now the way that you view relationships is through this diluted version of a father's love. All you can think of is an angry dad. The Lord wants to heal you this morning. The Lord wants to do a work in your life. He is not like that. Our Heavenly Father is a loving God. He's not right here ready to beat you down with a big stick. He is a loving God. Yes, he is a God of wrath, but he is a God of love. Mercy always precedes judgment. He is long-suffering with us, and he waits for us to get it right. He is patient with us. And one day, yes, he will execute his judgment and his wrath, but right now there's an extension of his love going out towards you, wanting to heal you, wanting to make you whole. Would you allow him to do that this morning? Would you allow him to heal your hurt and your pain in your life? In Jesus' name, Lord, let it be so. We thank you. We love you. And help us, Lord, just to be aware of how our anger can affect those around us. Be with us this week. Help us to make better choices, God, better decisions. Help us to control our anger in a Christ-like manner. Be with us, O Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen.
Amen. Amen.